Let's be conscious of the Lord's presence this morning with us. And I trust that as we come into the Lord's presence, as we gather together to worship Him and praise Him and give Him thanks, it's good to know that we are precious in His sight. I was thinking of this word in Isaiah 43, where it says in the Message Bible, "Now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob," you can put your name there, "the one who got you started, Israel," put your name there. "Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name, you're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you," in the NASB says, "you are precious to me. All of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in, that's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'll sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I'm with you." What a confidence we have when we belong to God, the creator of this universe, because we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. And that's why we are here together this morning. And let's bow our heads and worship Him and praise Him that we are so precious to Him. God says He'll sell off the whole world just to get you and me back. That's how much you mean to me. So let's bow our heads and give Him thanks. Father in heaven, we worship You this morning and bless You with all of our hearts. We thank You that we mean so much to You. We are precious in Your sight. We give You praise and thanks and bless You that You didn't hold back Your only begotten Son. You sent Jesus into this world to take upon Himself our flesh and to offer Himself for us on the cross of Calvary after living a perfect life. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We lift up our hearts this morning in praise and thanksgiving that we are precious to You. You've redeemed us, not with silver and gold, but with Your precious blood. And that's why we are Your family. And that's why, Father, we can look up into Your face and call You and know You as Dad. Yes, You are our Dad. And thank You, we can live in that security all the days of our life on this earth. Thank You, Father. Thank You for such a wonderful salvation. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We lift up our hearts this morning. Join me together, brothers and sisters, and let's all praise Him. Let's all exalt Him together. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid to lift up your voice. Lift up your hands if you feel free. And let's exalt the Lord Jesus in our midst. Let's give Him all the glory and all the praise. He deserves much more than these feeble voices can give Him. Yes, Father, we praise You. We exalt You. Hallowed be Your name in all the earth and in our midst this morning. Lord Jesus, be glorified in our midst. Pour out Your Spirit upon us. Be exalted, Lord. We want to join together with all the angels in heaven, with all the throng, with all the redeemed who have gone before us, and lift up Your name in our midst this morning. Be exalted, be glorified. Bless us this morning, Lord, with Your presence, with Your Spirit, with Your Word. Magnify Your Word together with Your name. And we pray that You bless the brothers who minister to us. Give them a rich anointing, a prophetic word from heaven, Lord. And bless our hearts and meet the need of every person here, of everyone who has come here, every brother and sister. Lord Jesus, we pray that through Your Spirit and through Your Word, You would speak to our hearts. We thank you, and we also at the same time pray for the meetings in Kakinada, Lord, and pray for a rich, rich anointing upon our brother's side. The thousands of people gathered together there, be exalted and glorified in their midst, Lord Jesus. And bless us too this morning with a blessing from heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. We want to look at a memory verse. You have it up there. Last week's memory verse. I hope it's a very short verse. Is it up there on the screen? Let's say it together, looking at the screen once. Do not, join me together. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I hope we believe that. Amen. Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Now, to switch it off, let's say it in my heart. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. And this week's memory verse, a very short verse also, from Isaiah 40:8. Look at it. Let's say it together. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Very easy to memorize right now. Let's say it again. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And that is the word preached to us, and that's the word that, thank God, we have in the Bible, that God can speak to us. We're going to hear our brother Charles first this morning, bring us the Lord's word. We're also happy to have with us this morning Brother Victor, the elder from Tirukattapalli, and Brother Yesudas, the elder from Chennai, Tamaram, Chennai. And they've been here, and that was, as you all know, that Brother John Poehler was seriously sick and near to death. But like we just read, the Lord is always with us, takes us through the waters and through the fire, and leads us into a broad place. And the Lord has answered the prayers of the church that our brother John Poehler is on the way to recovery. So we thank the Lord for that, and we want to see him back on his feet, and I believe that God has a purpose for him and his wife Subha. So we really thank the Lord for the recovery that has come in the last few days. So we are happy to have Victor and Yesudas with us, and they will share with us after we hear Brother Charles. Brother Charles.
Last Wednesday we were blessed by what we heard. Many brothers shared on the theme entitled Jesus, or God, our God is God of encouragement and appreciation. In that connection, a few verses spoke to me, and I would like to just highlight them before we proceed. It says in Matthew 12:20, a battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. A battering reed is something that when you see in a field, you know, the crops, one breaks down and the farmer feels like pulling it out. But God doesn't do that. When we break our bone and our leg is dangling, we won't just cut it off and carry on. Neither do we just go on like that, because it is painful for us and it is a matter of concern for others also. But Jesus, it says, he binds the brokenhearted, the battered reed he will not break off. He puts a splinter and plaster it off, and then waits for its healing. And the smoldering wick, it says, he will not put off. Now, smoldering wick is something that in olden days we used to have kerosene lamps, And when the lamp is flickering and going, we know that there is no oil in that. And we used to pour oil in that, and then it would again come back to its brightness. That's how God deals with us. When we fall, slip, and make mess of our life, He will not just say, get off, get out of here. No. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save us, we who were lost. And also another verse in 145, Psalm 145, verse 14. These three verses blessed me last Wednesday. I would encourage you to come for Wednesday meetings. You think brothers are just testifying, but God can speak to you if you are humble enough to receive a word from God. Psalm 145, verse 14, it says, the Lord sustains all who fall. Is there anybody who has not fallen here? We all, at some point or the other, we have had our falls and failures. Sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Is there anybody who is not bowed down at some point in life, crushed under some weight, some burden, some difficulty, something that we don't know how to get out of the situation? We are so bowed down with cares, but the Lord says He sustains all those who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. And one more verse in Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. In another translation it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. See, when a righteous man falls, he will not be hurled headlong because of the one who holds his hand. We need to have that confidence in the Lord. No matter what, no matter how my life is today, how much I have messed up, the Lord is for me. I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. These are the verses. Keeping that as a backdrop, we will go to our theme today. I wanted to speak on our identity in Christ, or our value in Christ. I'm so thankful that Brother Ian read that verse from Isaiah, where God says, I will give nations in exchange for your life. Have you ever heard that elsewhere, anywhere, except in the Bible? He says, I will give nations in exchange for your life. In that connection, I was thinking of what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40. You see how much God loves us. He says in Isaiah 40, verse 15 to 17, it says, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust, and Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering for him. All the nations, see, first of all, it says the nations are like a drop in a bucket of water. It's so tiny. All the nations before him is considered like a drop in a bucket. And then it says, they're like dust on a scale. And then it says, all the nations, verse 17, are nothing before him. See, from a drop to a dust and to nothing. And they are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. Drop, dust, nothing, and less than nothing. And where do we stand there on this speck called the earth? You get a picture of how much God loves us.
It says here in Job 36, verse 5, it's a very lovely verse.
When I first read it, I was so thrilled.
This is Elihu speaking to Job in his distress. He's comforting him and he's telling one word there which really blessed my heart years ago when I first heard it. Verse 5 of chapter 36. Behold, God is mighty but does not despise any.
Think of that verse. God is almighty, running this whole universe, and there I am, a microscopic dust on this another dust called the planet Earth. And he says, he looks at me, looks at you, and he says he doesn't despise any. How often we have done that to our fellow believers, to our colleagues, to our life partners, to children at home, in the neighborhood, or on the road, or probably to the beggars. How often we have despised one another. God, being almighty, says he never despises a single person. Even at the last moment he called Judas friend. Think about that. The value that God places on man. How much more valuable you are than many sparrows, he said. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. We call our loved ones, I love you, you are my loved one and all that. Have you ever counted anybody's hair on their head? Leave alone head, at least on the upper lip of your husband, you sisters. We don't take that much of trouble. But God says he takes the trouble of counting the number of hairs that are on your head. It is approximately about ranging from 90,000 to 150,000 hair follicles on our head. So God knows exact detail how many cells in your body are. It said there are about 120 trillion cells or something like that. You see, God is interested in each and every minute detail in our life. It's as Job says, he knows everything that's happening to me. God loves you and me with such intensity and care. Now, sometimes we wonder whether my way is hidden from the Lord. Lord, am I worth anything? Many of us, sometimes we feel like that. I'm good for nothing. I don't have any gifts and I don't really amount to much. I don't have much education. I even failed in my first standard. Can God do anything with me? Like that, some may be having that kind of thought in your mind. I'm really worth nothing. I'm a worm, it says somewhere. I think in Psalm 22 or something. I'm a worm. But I tell you, God, Jesus didn't die for a worm. You're much more valuable than many worms. You know, there are minor prophets in the Bible, like Obadiah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Nahum, people like that. One has written one chapter, another two chapters, another three, four chapters like that. And when you flip through the Bible, you will scarcely find them, those books of the Bible. And yet, God calls them prophets. And there was a prophet in Amos. I think in Amos 7 verse 14 it says, Amos was a prophet. And he says there, I am neither a prophet nor a son of a prophet, he says. He had such a low self-esteem of himself. But God put his book in the scriptures. He honored him, even Obadiah. Only one chapter is there. And that God has put just a few verses. And you think you amount to nothing. Sometimes we may feel the world would have been a better place if I was not born. That's what Job also said. He cursed the day he was born. You see, we think of people in a different way. We look at people in a different way. We look at ourselves in a different way. But God's ways are much higher than our ways. It says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. Like the earth is much higher than the heavens. Like that. We are so valuable. You need to be gripped by this fact that God, there is nothing that God cannot do in order to save you. No matter what mess you are in today, there is no mess that is too deep for God to pull you out from. You are precious. He is willing to give nations in exchange for you. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Just imagine in your imagination there is this earth with all its glory, with all its riches, with all its pomp and show and wealth and treasure, and here is a rotten sinner fit only to be condemned. And you ask a man, which one will he choose? Any fool with half brain will choose the world. But God's ways are not our ways. He says, to hell with that. I want this rotten man. I can do something with him. You imagine that. Think that you're in that man's place. And God chooses you and gives up that nation and that planet and chooses you and me. That's exactly what he did. When we were lost in our sin and transgression, he came after us, seeking after us. He saved us, cleansed us, washed us, put his spirit within us and called us his sons and daughters. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called children of God, sons of God, daughters of God. How much our Father loves us. You know, another minor prophet was Jonah. Jonah knew God. He tells something and he will relent and then he will change his mind. See, many times in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, in minor prophets, so many places God, you know, pronounced judgments upon different nations and people. But then when he saw that they repented, he changed that entire pronouncement, whatever he had made, whatever he decided. And Jonah knew it very well, that God is a God of mercy and compassion. And he has told me to go and preach to Nineveh. In 40 days, you'll all be out. God is going to bring judgment. But he knew heart of hearts, God will not do that. I know, because God is a compassionate God. That's why he ran off in opposite direction to Tarshish, that is Spain. He was to go to Iraq. Instead, he went to Spain. And there, God, you cannot escape God's gaze. He knows where exactly you are. Even if you switch off the light and you think nobody is watching me, God knows. Even I read of somebody, some deep sea diver who went to the depth of the sea and he was diving there and he saw a piece of paper stuck there and removed that and he read a verse there. It was written, that verse in the psalm, it says, even if I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. He read that and it really spoke to him. And he was a changed man. You cannot escape God's notice. And your prayers will not go unanswered. He is interested in listening to you. He wants you to speak to him. And he wants to speak to you. Do we take the trouble to speak to him every day in prayer and allow him to speak to us through his word? And here is Jonah. What does the Lord speak about in the book of Jonah? He speaks about a small worm. He speaks about a storm. He speaks about a creeper. He speaks about a scorching wind and things like that. Just imagine a worm and a creeper and, you know, we may think like that, but they are not forgotten by God. The seed, the tiny seed that you sow in the ground and cover it up, God is watching over it. As you water it, God gives the growth. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Do we realize that the tiny seed, God is watching? Today morning when you got up and you saw a few hair on your pillow, you think it was gone unnoticed by God? Such is the intense love of our Father. Sometimes we think, I really don't have that much of intelligence or capability or that sharpness and shrewdness to grasp things like that other brother does. You know, we use the word dumb as a donkey. I'm like a donkey sometimes, we may say. But you know, God even can use a donkey. He used a donkey. You read that in Numbers 22. Balaam, the prophet of God, a true prophet. Many people think he was a false prophet. He was a real, genuine, true prophet of God. But he became a false prophet later because of disobedience. And to restrain his madness, in 2 Peter, Peter says, God used a dumb donkey. Can you imagine a madman going to be fixed by a donkey? God's ways are not man's ways. We go to a specialist to get treated. But God sends his prophet to a dumb donkey so that his madness may be corrected. Think about that, brothers and sisters. You think you are a donkey? God doesn't call anybody a donkey. How much valuable you are in God's sight. You are more precious than silver and gold and all that. To God, you are special. You are irreplaceable. You are unique. You are one of a kind. And God cannot do without you. He wants you. He needs you. Think about that. I am precious in God's sight. I am not a forgotten person. I am not, you know, overlooked by God. He sees every detail of what's happening to me. None is loved more than you and me. We are precious. Jesus said in John 17:23, that the world may know that you loved them even as you have loved me. See, to God the Father, Jesus is, according to that verse, if that verse was not there, I wouldn't dare say that. According to that verse, to God the Father, you are not less loved by God than he loved Jesus. You know, you are not less loved by God than he loved Peter, James, John, Paul, including Jesus. You'd like to see that? You turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, 6 to 9. We read here, from those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. Well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. Who is he talking about? Read the next verses. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter and his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas, that is Simon Peter, and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. See here what he says about Peter, James and John. They were reputed to be pillars in the church, in the early church in Jerusalem. But he says, it doesn't matter to me what they are. He says, I don't care, in a sense, I mean, to put it in a rude way, he says, I don't care, because in God's sight, Peter is no greater than me or you. This is exactly what he says in verse 6. God shows no partiality. So, well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. That's what he means. Even though he was just an ordinary brother, Paul, he was just converted a little while ago, maybe about 3 years ago. He is speaking like this. God shows no partiality. To him, there is no difference between Peter, who was there with him for 3.5 years, and another 3 years he's ministered, and he's so many things God is accomplishing through him. And here I am, a newcomer, just born again. There is no difference between Peter and me, who is just converted today, according to this verse. Think about what kind of people God chose in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul says here, consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, so that no man could boast before God. You see the way God works. The ones foolish, the shameless kind of people, weak things and base things, despised things, the rejected ones. Do you fit into any of these categories? You are the right candidate for God, brother, sister. Not that cream of society, the top layer of your class in college or school, not the top rank holders in IIT or things like that. You think you are one of those right at the bottom? God looks for you. So that through you and through the Holy Spirit's power, he can do something and accomplish something which those people who consider themselves to be cream of society will bow down before you and acknowledge that your God is the one who made that possible through you. So that all glory will go to him and not to you. You know, in Luke 8:20, some people came to Jesus and said, when Jesus was preaching, they came and said to him, you know, your mother and your brothers and sisters, they are waiting for you outside. They want to meet you. You know, what was Jesus' response? He didn't just leave everybody and go there to meet them. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother and sister? It's you. Who listen to God's word and who do his will. You are my mother. You are my brother. You are my sister. Did it make any difference to him between his own mother and another sister sitting there in the group. He made no distinction. He said, "You are the same to me." And his own brothers, Joseph and James and so on, they are no different from you. Do we think it like that? God makes no difference. And you're as important to him as Peter, Paul, James, John, Mary Magdalene, and even the thief on the cross. They're all equal as far as God's love is concerned. God loves us alike, everybody alike. But it is one thing to be loved by God on the same plane, but it is quite a different thing in God's sight as to who pleases him. You know, Jesus said in John 15, John 14:15. It says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." After God has loved you, and you want to show your love back to him, how do I show my love back to him? Not just by singing some moving emotional songs here in church, nor saying to our fellow believers, "I love God so much." I asked one person when he was saying, "I love God so much," I asked him, "Have you been baptized?" It's number of years after he was converted. "No." "Why?" "Because my church tradition says I was baptized as a baby." "What does Jesus say? He who believes in me and is baptized shall be saved. Did you believe when you were so-called baptized as a baby? Did you know what was happening to you? That was not baptism. You and I went through the same phase in the denomination. That's not baptism. That is just a child dedication, or you can call it christening. And many people think that, yes, I was baptized. There's only one baptism, one faith, one Lord, things like that. They quote that scripture from Ephesians. You see, I show my love to God by this fact that I keep his commandment. Not that I keep his commandment in order to be saved, but in order to show my love to him. God doesn't call the qualified. He calls and then he qualifies you. And God doesn't take people from the pedestal, those who are in the foreground and under the spotlight. No, God picks his people from the pit and then he places them on the pedestal. God's ways are totally different from man's ways. It's one thing to be, you know, loved by God, but it's quite another thing to be appreciated by God and approved by God and be pleasing in his sight. And that we do only as we keep his commandments. One last word in 1 John 5:3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is fitting into that. It says, John says, having walked with Jesus for over 65 years, he says here that, "By this we know the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And another place he says, if we say that we love God and we don't keep his commandments, we are deceiving ourselves. We are liars. And he says his commandments are not burdensome, Many people think God's commands are heavy and are burdensome. Who told you that? If it was heavy and burdensome, God wouldn't have given that to you. Jesus said, My burden is light. My commandments are not burdensome. It means it's something light that I can do. We don't give a commandment to our children, small children, which they cannot do. You don't tell a 2-year-old boy to carry a 50 kg rice bag or something like that. You know that they cannot even push it. God is very fair and just in giving His commandments. He gives only those commandments that we can keep. And those commandments which we cannot keep, which we think we cannot keep by our own strength, He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. He infuses in us the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, so that we may be able to, you know, obey those commandments and carry out those commandments which He has commanded. So remember one thing, His commandments are not burdensome, and He will never put on you that which you cannot bear. May through His Holy Spirit the Lord enable each one of us and strengthen us in the inner man, so that we will be able to do that which God has called us to do, and keep His commandments and thus prove our love to Him. Amen.
தேவனுடைய மகத்தான கிருபைகளுக்காகவும் இரக்கங்களுக்காகவும் தேவனுக்கு நன்றி செலுத்துகிறேன்.
I thank God for the amazing graces and mercies.
தேவனுடைய திருச்சபைக்கும் பரிசுத்தவான்களுக்கும் ஏறெடுக்கப்பட்ட ஜபங்களுக்காகவும் நாங்கள் இரு வீட்டாரும் நாங்கள் தேவனுக்கு நன்றியறிதல் உள்ளவர்களாக, சபைக்கு நன்றியறிதல் உள்ளவர்களாக இருக்கிறோம்.
We both our families were so thankful to the saints in the church and for the body of Christ, you know, for upholding us in prayer and the words of encouragement.
காலையில் நான் கேட்டுக்கொண்டிருந்த வார்த்தைகளுக்காக நான் ஸ்தோத்திரத்தை நன்றி செலுத்துகிறேன்.
I thank God for the words I heard in the morning today.
தேவன் என்கரேஜ் பண்ணுகிறதான தேவன்.
A God is a God who encourages us.
மடங்கடிக்கப்பட்டவர்களை தூக்கி விடுகிறவர்.
He lifts us who those who are fallen.
விழுந்து போனவர்களை தூக்கி விடுகிற தேவன்.
He lifts those who are fallen.
மங்கி எரிகிற திரியை அணைக்காதவர்.
He will not put off the smoldering wick. He will not put off.
நாம் அப்போஸ்தலர் நடவடிக்கைகளில் நாம் இப்படி 5-ம் அதிகாரத்தில் இப்படி வாசிக்கிறோம்.
We read in Acts chapter 5 like this.
Yose 5:36. Apostles' Nadavadigal 4:36.
Acts chapter 4 verse 36.
Barnaba என்பது அவருடைய பின்னால் அவருக்கு கொடுக்கப்பட்ட பெயர், ஆனால் அவருடைய ஆரம்பத்தில் இருந்த பெயர் யோசே.
Barnabas was a given name later, but Barnabas' original name was Joseph.
அந்த பெயருக்கு ஏற்றார் போலவே அவருடைய காரியங்கள் எல்லாம் நாம் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
We read here all the things according to his name.
அப்போஸ்தலர் நடவடிக்கைகள் 12-ம் அதிகாரத்தில்
Acts chapter 12
அவருடைய பர்னபாவுடைய சகோதரியினுடைய மகன் மார்க்.
Barnabas nephew is Mark.
12:12 வாசிக்கிறோம்.
In chapter 12, verse 12.
மார்க் என்னும் பேர் கொண்ட யோவானுடைய தாயாகிய மரியாள் வீட்டுக்கு வந்தான்.
He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark.
யோவான் மார்க் ஒரு வாலிபனாய் இருந்திருக்க வேண்டும்.
The Mark should have been a young person.
அருமையான வாலிப பிள்ளைகளே,
dear young people,
அவருடைய வீட்டில் ஜான் மார்க்னுடைய வீட்டில் பிரேயர் மீட்டிங் நடந்துகிட்டு இருந்தது.
In the house of John Mark, the prayer meeting was going on.
அவருடைய தாயார் பக்தி உள்ள ஒரு ஸ்திரீ.
His mother is a godly woman.
அவருடைய வீட்டில் கிரமமாய் வாரந்தோறும் மீட்டிங் நடந்துகிட்டு இருக்கு.
And every week there was a meeting in their home.
இந்த ஃபேமிலியை கட்டாயமா பர்னபா தான் கைட் பண்ணிருக்கணும்.
பர்னபா ஷுட் ஹவ் கைடட் திஸ் ஃபேமிலி.
தன்னுடைய தங்கச்சி பையனை, தன்னுடைய சிஸ்டருடைய பையனை, அந்த யங் மேனை இந்த பர்னபா என்கரேஜ் பண்ணிருக்கணும். வாலிப வயசுல என்கரேஜ் பண்ணிருக்கணும்.
பர்னபா ஷுட் ஹவ் யூ நோ என்கரேஜ் தட் ஜான் மார்க் ஈவன் அட் இஸ் யங் ஏஜ்.
நாம் சில இடங்கள் எல்லாம் பாக்குறோம்.
We see in some places.
சில வீட்டில் பிரேயர் மீட்டிங்ஸ் நடக்கும்.
In some, in a house, a prayer meeting may be going on.
வாலிப பிள்ளைகள் வெளியில இருப்பாங்க.
And the young people will be sitting outside.
ஃப்ரெண்ட்ஸ் வீட்டில் இருப்பாங்க.
They will be in their friend's home.
பிளே கிரவுண்ட்ஸ்ல இருப்பாங்க.
Or they will be in the playground.
வீட்டில் பிரேயர் மீட்டிங் நடந்துட்டு இருக்கும்.
But in their home, the prayer meeting will be going on.
Old parents உட்கார்ந்து ஜெபம் பண்ணிட்டு இருப்பாங்க.
And the old parents will be sitting and praying.
பிரதர்ஸ் சிஸ்டர்ஸ் எல்லாம் சர்ச் அந்த வீட்டுக்கு வந்து பிரேயர் மீட்டிங் நடத்திட்டு இருப்பாங்க.
And every brother in the church and the sisters, they will come to that house and conducting that meeting.
ஆனால் ஜான் மார்க் வித்தியாசமானவன்.
But John Mark is a different person.
வாலிபன்.
He is a young man.
அவனுடைய வீட்டில் நடந்த பிரேயர் மீட்டிங் ஹானர் பண்ணி வீட்டில் இருந்தவன்.
He was at his home honoring the prayer meeting which was being conducted at his home.
அவனும் பிரேயர் மீட்டிங் நடத்திருந்திருப்பான்.
He would have conducted some prayer meetings too.
இதெல்லாம் பர்னபா பார்த்துக்கிட்டே இருந்தார்.
Barnaba has seen all these things.
பர்னபா இதுக்கு பின்னால இருந்தார் எல்லாத்தையும்.
And Barnaba was behind all these things.
இப்படிப்பட்ட பர்னபாவை, இப்படிப்பட்ட ஜான் மார்க்கை,
and a man like this John Mark,
நான் பின்னால வாசிக்கிறோம் 18 அதிகாரத்தில்.
We read in the later part of chapter 12,
25 வசனம்,
verse 25.
பர்னபாவும் சவுலும் அவர்கள் மார்க்கு என்னும் பேர் கொண்ட யோவானை கூட்டிக் கொண்டு எருசலேமை விட்டு திரும்பி வந்தார்கள்.
And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was called Mark.
சவுல் ஒரு யங் மேன் தான்.
Saul is also a young man.
அல்ல, ஒரு மெச்சூர்டு எல்டர் பிரதரா பர்னபா இருந்திருக்கிறார்.
And Barnabas has been a mature young elder, a mature elder.
சவுலை தேற்றினது போலவே, சவுலை அழைத்துக் கொண்டது போலவே பர்னபா மார்க்கையும் சேர்த்துக் கொண்டார்.
Like he had Saul with him, he also wanted to have John with him, John Mark with him.
நல்ல நிதானிச்சிட்டார் இந்த பையன், இந்த ஜான் மார்க் கவனிச்சிட்டார்.
He Barnabas discerned who John Mark is.
அவ வீட்ல உள்ள பிரேயர் மீட்டிங்ஸ்ல வேர்ட் ஆஃப் காட் ஷேர் பண்றதெல்லாம் பார்த்துட்டார்.
And he has seen John Mark sharing the word of God in the meeting at his home.
அந்த மீட்டிங் ஆர்கனைஸ் பண்றதெல்லாம் பார்த்துட்டார்.
And he saw how John Mark organized all the meetings.
கட்டாயம் நம்மளுடைய மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு அழைச்சிட்டு போலான்னு சொல்லிட்டு இந்த யங் மேன் அழைச்சிட்டு
போறார். And he finalized that I should take this young person with me for the ministry.
ஆனால் இங்கேதான் 13 அதிகாரத்தில் இப்படி நான் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
பட் வி ரீட் ஹியர் இன் சாப்டர் 13.
அவர்கள் 13 வசனத்தில் 13 வாசிக்கிறோம். அவர்கள் பம்பிலியாவுக்கு வந்தபொழுது யோவான், ஜான் மார்க் என்பவன் அவர்களை விட்டு பிரிந்து எருசலேமுக்கு திரும்பி போனான் என்று வாசிக்கிறோம்.
வி ரீட் இன் வெர்ஸ் 13. நவ பால் அண்ட் ஹிஸ் கம்பேனியன்
13
வெர்ஸ் 13
13
சாப்டர் 13 வெர்ஸ் 13 as they came to Pamphylia, John left and returned to Jerusalem.
ஏற்கனவே சில அங்க பிரச்சனைகள் எல்லாம் நடந்தது. அங்க
there were some issues there happened there.
பர்னபாவுக்கும் சவுலுக்கும் அங்க மினிஸ்ட்ரியில நிறைய நெருக்கடிகள் எல்லாம் இருக்கு.
And Barnabas and Paul had some misunderstanding in their ministry.
அங்க மாயவித்தைக்காரனுடைய துரத்து இருக்கிறதுனால சில பிரச்சனைகள் எல்லாம் அங்க எழுந்தது.
And there rose some problems because of some magicians there.
அங்க கொண்டு போய் அவர்களை கொண்டு போய் நிறுத்த வேண்டியதாயிடுச்சு.
And they were, you know, had to stand before the court.
தேவனுடைய மினிஸ்ட்ரியில இருக்கக்கூடியதான அந்த பாடுகளுக்கு ஜான் மார்க் யங் மேனால நிக்க முடியல.
And John Mark was not able to stand to, you know, face the sufferings in the ministry.
இதுனே இவ்வளவு சிக்கலா இருக்கு, பிரச்சனையா இருக்குது.
Why, oh, this is a big problem.
பேசாம நான் ஜெருசலேமுக்கு திரும்பலாம்.
லெட் மீ கோ பேக் டு ஜெருசலேம்.
நம்ம வீட்டில் இருக்க பிரேயர் மீட்டிங் கண்டக்ட் பண்ணா போதும்.
இட்ஸ் இனஃப் தட் இஃப் ஐ கண்டக்ட் த பிரேயர் மீட்டிங்ஸ் அட் மை ஹோம்.
இதெல்லாம் சவுலோட எல்லாம் நமக்கு ஒர்க் அவுட் ஆகாது.
இட் வில் நாட் ஒர்க் அவுட் ஃபார் மீ இஃப் ஐ கோ வித் சவுல்.
அங்கிள், நான் வீட்டுக்கு போறேன்ட்டார்.
அங்கிள், ஐ எம் கோயிங் ஹோம்.
இதை மனசுல வச்சுக்கிட்டார் இவர். சவுல் இதை மனசுல வச்சுக்கிட்டார்.
சவுல் கெப்ட் தீஸ் திங்ஸ் இன் ஹிஸ் ஹார்ட்.
ஒரு யங் மேன், யங் டைனமிக் பர்சன். நான் யங் மேனா இல்லையா, நீ இன்னும் இருக்கணும்டா அப்படி.
And you know, Paul thought, I am also an young man like you and you should be like me.
எப்படி விட்டுட்டு போலாம் நீ?
How can you go leaving me?
انا உள்ளரையே வச்சிட்டு இருந்தார்.
But he was having that in his mind.
பின்னால நான் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
We read afterwards.
15 அதிகாரத்தில்.
In chapter 15.
அப்போஸ்தலர் பிரிகள் 15 அதிகாரத்தில் நான் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
Acts of the Apostles chapter 15.
36 இருந்து நான் வாசிப்போம்.
We read from verse 36.
Please.
After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had gone with them to the world.
நம்மை விட்டு அவன் பிரிந்து நம்மோட ஊழியத்துக்கு வராததுனாலே அவன் அழைத்துக் கொண்டு போக கூடாது என்றார்.
So we should not take him along with us because he has deserted us.
இந்த சவுல் ஒரு இம்மெச்சூர்டா தான் இருக்கார் பாய்.
This Saul is also an immature man.
அந்த வீக் பிரதர் அவரால் அக்செப்ட் பண்ணிக்க முடியல.
He is not able to accept the weak brother like John Mark.
நான் ஜெலஸா இருக்கிறது போல நீனும் ஜெலஸா இருக்க வேண்டியதானே.
You must be zealous like I am zealous.
இப்படி பேக் அடிக்கிற நீ.
Why you are going back?
No, அவனை அழைச்சிட்டு வரக்கூடாது.
We should not take him with us.
அப்ப அங்க ஒரு அவங்களுக்குள்ள ஒரு கடும் கோபம் மூர்க்கம் எல்லாம் உண்டாவது.
And there was an argument, there was a strife between them.
அருமையானவர்களே,
beloved,
இந்த இடத்தில்தான் தேவன் இப்படிப்பட்ட வீக் பிரதர்ஸ், சோர்ந்து போகிறவர்களை, பலன் இல்லாதவர்களை, மங்கி எறிகிறவர்களை தேவன் தூக்கி விடுகிற தேவனா இருக்கிறார்.
And in places like these, God, you know, lifts who are so disgraced, who are weak, who don't have the strength, and God lifts them.
சவுலை அங்கீகரித்த ஆலோசனை சங்கம், சவுலை அங்கீகரித்துக் கொண்டதான ஜெருசலேம் சபையார்,
the church in Jerusalem, they accepted Saul.
40th வசனத்தில் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
We read in verse 40.
பவுலையும் சீலாவையும் சகோதரர்களாலே தேவனுடைய கிருபைக்கு ஒப்புவிக்கப்பட்டு போனார்கள்.
We read here that Paul chose Silas and left being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord.
ஒரு அங்கீகாரம் அவர்களுக்கு இருக்கு.
They had a recognition on them.
பவுலுடைய மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு ஒரு அங்கீகாரம் இருக்கு.
And Paul's ministry had was recognized by everybody.
பர்னபாவுடைய மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு அங்க அங்கீகாரம் இல்ல.
But the ministry of Barnabas was not accepted.
பர்னபாவோட கூட போன ஜான் மார்க்குக்கு ஒரு அங்கீகாரம் இல்ல.
The John Mark who went with Barnabas, he did not have any recognition.
அருமையானவர்களே,
beloved,
தேவன் நம்மளை அங்கீகரிச்சா போதும்.
It is enough if a God would recognize us, accept us.
மனுஷர்கள் நம்மளை அங்கீகரிக்கணும்னு நம்ம எதிர்பார்க்க கூடாது.
We don't need to think that the men should accept us.
ரைட்டே, என்ன சவுலும் சவுல் என்ன துரத்தி விட்டார், என் மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு வரக்கூடாதுன்னு சொல்லிட்டார்.
Oh, Saul had sent me away that I should not come to a ministry.
சென்னமே நான் என் வேலையை பார்த்துட்டு போறேன்.
Let me go and go after my own work.
அப்படின்ட்டு ஜான் மார்க் இல்ல.
John Mark was not like that. He was not going like that.
பர்னபாவும் அப்படி ஜான் மார்க்கை விட்டுல.
And even Barnabas did not leave John Mark like that.
அதனால என்ன பாப்ப?
So what, John?
ஜெருசலேம் சபையார் அங்கீகரிக்கலன்னா இப்ப என்ன பே?
What will happen even if the church in Jerusalem did not accept you, recognize you?
சவுல் அங்கீகரிக்கலன்னா இப்ப என்ன பே?
Even if Saul did not recognize you, what is that?
தேவனுடைய அங்கீகாரம் தான் நமக்கு காரியம்.
Matter is the recognition by God.
பரவாயில்ல, உன்னுடைய பலவீனத்துல நீ இப்படி தடுமாறிட்ட நீ.
Okay, in your weakness you stumbled.
ஓகே, பம்பிலியாவில இருந்து நீ திரும்பி வந்தது தப்புதான்.
Yeah, it's wrong that you came back from Pamphylia.
ஓகே, அதனால சோர்ந்து போகாதே.
But don't get discouraged because of that.
தேவனுடைய முன்னிலையில், தேவனுடைய பிரசன்னத்துக்கு முன்னாக நீ ஊழியத்தை செஞ்சிட்டே வா.
You do your ministry in presence of God, before God.
மனுஷர் யாரும் உன்னை பார்க்க வேண்டாம்.
Let not man see what work you are doing.
அவருடைய அங்கீகாரத்தை நீ தேட வேண்டாம்.
You don't seek the recognition from men.
Son of encouragement அப்படினு வாசிக்கிறோம் பர்னபாவை.
We read about Barnabas that he is a son of encouragement.
சைல என்கரேஜ் பண்ணிட்டே வந்தார்.
He was encouraging him.
நல்ல மினிஸ்ட்ரி பண்ணு நீனு.
You continue with that ministry.
தேவனுக்கு முன்பாக செய்யாத.
You do that before God.
மனுஷருக்கு முன்பாக செஞ்சிராத.
Not before men.
அப்படி உண்மையா இருந்த மனுஷன் ஜான் மார்க்.
John Mark was such a faithful man.
அந்தரங்கத்திலே ஒரு மனுஷனும் அங்கீகாரம் இல்லாதிருந்த நாட்களில் தேவனுடைய பார்வைக்கு மாத்திரம் ஒரு மினிஸ்ட்ரி பண்ணிட்டு இருந்த மனுஷன்.
When he had no recognition from men, he was doing his ministry before God.
சவுல் மேல எந்த விதமான பிட்டர்னஸ் இல்ல.
He didn't have any bitterness against Saul.
என்ன இப்படி அங்கீகாரம் குடிக்காத இப்படி என்ன வெளியில் தள்ளிட்டாங்கன்னு சொல்லிட்டு இன்னைக்கு நாம் செய்யறது நிறைய பேரை பார்க்கிறோம் அப்படின்னு நம்ம. அப்படி இல்லை, ஜான் மார்க் இல்ல.
Today we see the people getting bitter because the godly men did not recognize them.
அவர்கள் அது மாதிரி கசந்து கொள்கிறார்கள்.
They become bitter against the elders, and John Mark was not like that.
முரட்டாட்டம் பண்ணுகிறார்கள்.
And they are rebelling.
ஆனால் ஜான் மார்க் அந்த ஸ்பிரிட் எல்லாம் கிடையாது.
பட் ஜான் மார்க் டிட் நாட் ஹேவ் தட் சச் எ ஸ்பிரிட்.
ஓகே லார்ட், என்னை யாரும் என்னை அங்கீகரிக்க வேண்டாம்.
ஓகே லார்ட், லெட் நோபடி ரெகனைஸ் மீ.
நான் தேவனுக்கு முன்பாக நான் பிழைச்சா போதும்.
லெட் மீ லிவ் பிஃபோர் யூ.
நான் தப்புதான்.
What I have done is wrong.
Na paadiyila uttittu vandhadu thappu da.
It is wrong that I came out in the middle.
Na innume aandavare naan vandu correct panikiren enna.
I want to correct myself.
Andha devanukku unbaga maatram andha time devan paathar.
Lord saw the time where he was, you know, doing before, living before God.
Armiyanavargale devanal nam sabayaral அல்லது அங்கீகரிக்கப்படல, இவர்களால் அங்கீகரிக்கப்படலன்னு சொல்லிட்டு இருக்கான். நேரம் எல்லாம் தேவன் நம்மளை வாட்ச் பண்ற நேரம்.
The Lord is watching us when we are thinking that we have not been recognized by the elders in the church.
நான் ஃபெய்த்ஃபுல்லா இருக்கணும் அந்தரங்கத்துல.
And we have to be faithful before God.
அந்த அந்தரங்கத்தை தேவன் பார்க்கிறார்.
And God sees
his secrets.
In secret.
அதை பார்க்கிற தேவன்.
The Lord who sees that in secret.
அதனால தான் அருமையானவர்களே,
that's why beloved,
ஒரு gospel John Mark தூக்கி கொடுத்தார்.
And you know, the Lord gave a gospel to John Mark.
ஒரு gospel book ஏ கொடுத்தார் அவனுக்கு.
Lord gave a gospel book to John Mark.
அவனை அங்கீகரித்து கொண்டார்.
The Lord accepted and recognized him.
மனுஷர்கள் பிறகு அங்கீகரிக்கிறாங்க.
Later men recognized him.
கொலோசியர்ல வாசிக்கிறோம். கொலோசியர்,
we read in Colossians.
கொலோசியரில் வாசிக்கிறோம் நான்காம் அதிகாரம்.
கொலோசியன் சாப்டர் 4
பத்தாம் வசனத்தில் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
கொலோசியன் சாப்டர் 4 வேர்ஸ் 10.
ஓகே பிளீஸ்.
அரிஸ்டார்க்கஸ் மை ஃபெலோ பிரிசனர் சென்ஸ் யூ ஹிஸ் கிரீட்டிங்ஸ் அண்ட் ஆல்சோ பர்னபாஸ் கசின் மார்க் அபவுட் ஹூம் யூ ரிசீவ்ட் இன்ஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன்ஸ் இஃப் ஹி கம்ஸ் டு யூ வெல்கம் ஹிம்.
இவன் உங்களிடத்தில் வந்தால் இவனை அங்கீகரித்துக் கொள்ளுங்கள் என்று என்னுடைய தமிழ் வேதாகமத்தில் வாசிக்கிறான்.
We read in the Tamil version that when if he comes to you, you accept him, receive him, recognize him.
கொலோசியருக்கு லெட்டர் எழுதினார்.
He was writing a letter to the Colossians.
பின்னால என்னுடைய எனக்கு அவன் பிரயோஜனமானவன், அவன் என்னுடைய மினிஸ்ட்ரிக்கு அழைச்சிட்டு வாங்கிறது பின்னால நம்ம வாசிக்கிறோம். திமோத்தியில வாசிக்கிறோம்.
In Timothy we read, you know, Paul was asking him to come back. He is so useful in my ministry.
அது பின்னால. அது
தட்ஸ் லேட்டர்.
ஆனால் அதுக்கு முன்னதாகவே கொலோசியருக்கு ஒரு லெட்டர் எழுதிட்டார்.
பட் பிஃபோர் தட் ஹி ரோட் எ லெட்டர் டு தி கொலோசியன்ஸ்.
அவனை அங்கீகரித்துக் கொள்ளுங்கள்,
ரெகனைஸ் ஹிம், ரிசீவ் ஹிம்.
பிரியமானவர்களே,
பிலவட்,
தேவன் நம்மளை அங்கீகரிச்சா போதும்.
இட்ஸ் எனஃப் இஃப் காட் ரெகனைசஸ் அஸ்.
அந்த இடத்துல அவன் எவ்வளவுதான் சோர்வடைந்து அவனுடைய காரியங்கள் விழுந்து போனாலும்,
ஈவன் இஃப் யூ நோ வி ஆர் டிஸ்கரேஜ் அண்ட் ஃபாலன்,
தேவனுடைய கிருபை அவனை அவ்வளவாய் தூக்கினது.
And the grace of God lifted him up.
அந்த கிருபை பர்னபா மூலமா வந்தது.
And that grace came through Barnabas.
பர்னபாவோட கூட சேர்ந்து போனதும்.
And he went along with Barnabas.
யாருக்கு தெரியாதபடிக்கு அந்தரங்கத்தில் ஒரு மினிஸ்ட்ரி பண்ணதும்.
And the ministry which he was doing in secret.
தேவன் அதை பார்த்தார்.
God saw that.
அதை சவுலுக்கு அது வெளிப்படுத்தினார்.
And he revealed that to Saul.
தேவன் எல்லாருக்கும் வெளியரங்கமானது.
Then it became evident to everybody.
இப்படிப்பட்ட தேவனை நாம் ஆராதிக்கிறோம் பிரியமானவர்களே.
And we are worshiping a God like that.
ஒரே ஒரு காரியத்தை சொல்லி நான் முடிக்க விரும்புகிறேன்.
I want to say one thing and close before closing.
ஏசாயாவினுடைய புத்தகத்தை நான் ஏசாயா 40 நான் வாசித்துக் கொண்டிருந்தோம். ஏசாயாவின் புத்தகம்,
the book of Isaiah chapter 40.
40 அதிகாரம்.
Chapter 40.
சர்வ வல்லமுள்ளதான தேவன்,
God who is almighty.
26 வசனத்தில் இப்படி நாம் வாசிக்கிறோம்.
In verse 26 we read like this.
இந்த 26 வசனத்தை நாம் வாசிக்க கேட்போம். ஜான்
Isaiah chapter 40 verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing.
அதாவது இப்ப எங்க ஊர்கள் எல்லாம் வந்து கிராமத்துல எல்லாம் வந்து ஆடு ஆடுகள் வச்சிருக்கிற பட்டி வச்சிருப்போம். ஆடு பட்டி இருக்கும்.
In our villages, the sheep fold will be there.
சில வீடுகள் எல்லாம் வந்து 50 ஆடு 60 ஆடு கூட இருக்கும்.
In some homes there will be 50 or 60 sheep will be there.
காலையில அந்த மேய்க்கிறதுக்காக வயல் அப்படி அழைச்சிட்டு போவாங்க.
And they will take all the sheep to the paddy in the field.
சாயந்தரம் வரைக்கும் மேய விடுவாங்க.
And they will allow to graze till the evening.
அப்புறம் அந்த பாஸ்டரிங் முடிச்சதுக்கு அப்புறம் மறுபடியும் பட்டிக்கு கொண்டு வருவாங்க.
And again they will bring back to the fold.
அப்போ கரெக்டா அந்த பட்டிக்குள்ள போகும்பொழுது ஒன்னொன்னா பார்க்கணும்.
And they have to see one by one when they went to enter into the fold.
எங்கடா ரோசி காணோம்?
Hey, where is Rosie? Is missing.
எங்கடா ஜூடி காணோம்?
Where is Judy? Is missing.
Hey, ஜூடி அங்க இருக்கு பாரு.
Oh, Judy is there.
Hey, எங்க வேற எங்க ரோசி எங்க அப்படிம்பாங்க.
Where is Rosie? They will tell like that.
அதோ ரோசி தோர் இருக்கு.
Oh, Rosie is here.
Okay. ஒண்ணு குறைவு இல்லாம இருக்கான்னு பாத்துக்கறாங்க.
They will make sure that not one is lost.
60 உள்ளார போயிடுச்சான்னு பாத்துக்கறது.
They will check all the 60s has gone inside or not.
Okay. 1 2 3 59 60.
Okay, 1 2 3 59 and 60 fine.
ஒண்ணு கூட குறையாம இருக்கான்னு பாத்துக்குவாங்க.
They will make sure that not even one is less.
50 60 க்கு எப்படி?
And for 50 60 it is like this.
ஏசாயா என்ன சொல்கிறார் என்றால்,
what Isaiah is saying is,
ஏசாயா மூலமா தேவன் சொல்கிற வார்த்தை,
through Isaiah Lord is telling,
வானத்தை அண்ணாந்து பார்,
you look to the sky,
எல்லாத்துக்கும் பேர் இருக்கா ஒண்ணுக்கும்,
and there is name for everything.
நாம் கேட்டோம், இப்ப கையில் இருக்கிறது எத்தனா நம்பர் எனக்கு தெரியல.
We heard that I don't know what is the number of this hair.
அதான் ஒண்ணு எடுப்போம் இப்ப.
Let us take one.
இது 91,000 இல்ல 110,000 தெரியல எனக்கு.
I don't know whether it's the 91,000th one or the 1,00,000th one.
நமக்கு தெரியல.
We don't know.
ஆனால் தேவனுக்கு தெரியுது.
But Lord knows that.
அவ்வளோ ஸ்டார்ஸுக்கு ஒன்னு பேர் வச்சிருக்காரு.
And he has given a name for all the stars.
நமக்கு பேர் எப்படி வைக்க முடியும், எப்படி பேர் வைப்பாருன்னு தெரியல, எனக்கு ஆச்சரியமா இருக்கு.
We don't know how he gave a name. It's amazing.
அவ்வளோ அது கோடி கோடியா இருக்கு. கோடி கோடியா இருக்கிறதுக்கு ஒன்னொன்னுக்கு பேர் பேர் இருக்கும்.
And for all the millions and millions of stars, he has given a single name for each star.
எங்க ரோசின்னு பாக்குறாரு.
Lord is saying, where is Rosie?
எங்க ரூஸ் ஜூடி எங்கன்னு பாக்குறாரு.
Where is Judy?
Oh, right. Okay. That is, அது அங்க இருக்குன்னு பாக்குறாரு.
Okay. Lord says it is there.
அது அப்படியே ரவுண்ட் அப் ரவுண்ட் போறது வர்றது எல்லாத்தையும் பாக்குறாரு.
And the Lord is seeing how they are revolving.
எல்லா கவுண்ட்ஸ் இருக்கு அவர்கிட்ட.
And he has all counts on every of them.
எல்லாம் அதாவது ஆர்பிட்ல எல்லாம் கரெக்டா இருக்கான்னு செக் பண்ணிக்கிறார்.
And the Lord is checking whether everything is moving in its own orbit.
எல்லாம் குறையாம இருக்கான்னு பாத்துக்கிறார்.
And he makes sure that nothing is missing.
அருமையானவர்களே, இப்படிப்பட்ட பரம பிதாவை நாம் கொண்டிருக்கிற அப்படினால்,
beloved, we have such a wonderful father.
நாம் எவ்வளவு இளைப்பாறுதலா இருக்க முடியும்.
How we can be at rest.
நாம் அவருடைய வல்ல கரத்தில் நாம் தூங்கலாம்.
We can sleep in his mighty hand.
அவர் எல்லாவற்றையும் பார்த்துக் கொள்வார்.
He will take care of everything.
ஆரம்ப நாட்களில் கான்பரன்ஸ்ல கேட்ட ஒரு வார்த்தை தான்.
It is a word which I heard in the early days of in a conference.
சாக்னுடைய ஒரு இல்லஸ்ட்ரேஷன்.
The illustration of Brother Zach.
அது நான் அடிக்கடி எங்களுடைய போர் இடங்கள்ல நான் உதாரணத்தை நான் பயன்படுத்திக் கொள்வேன்.
I make use of that illustration wherever I go.
இங்க இருந்து ஒரு ஒரு நம்ம கிச்சன்ல சின்ன சின்ன எறும்புகள்.
And in our kitchens we see small small ants.
அது ஒரு அரிசி ரைஸ் வந்து அது ஃபுல் ரைஸ் கூட இல்ல, ஒரு broken, ஒரு half broken rice எடுத்துட்டு போறதுக்காக பிரயாசப்படுவாங்க.
And they will be striving to take, you know, a small piece of rice from one end to another.
அந்த அத அப்படியே நானும் பாத்துர்க்காதே.
I have also seen that.
அத அப்சர்வ் பண்ணி நீங்களும் பாத்துるீங்க அத.
I have observed that, you might have also observed that.
அந்த ஒரு எறும்பு வந்து அந்த பாதி broken rice இழுத்துக்கிட்டு அப்படியே மல்லு கட்டி நிக்கும் அது.
And one, you know, ant will be striving to pull that half broken rice.
அப்புறம் பல்ட்டி அடிச்சிடும் அது.
Then
அதை இப்படி எடுத்து இப்படி விழுந்துடும் அப்புறம் மேல.
Then it will, you know, fall on the other side.
அரிசியை விட்டுரும்.
And it will leave the rice.
அரிசியை விட்டுப்பிட்டு இங்க இங்க எங்கயோ அதை தேடும், இப்படி இப்படி தேடும்.
And it will leave the rice but and will be searching here and there.
அப்புறம் மோப்பம் பிடிச்சு மறுபடியும் அந்த அரிசியை பிடிச்சிடும்.
Then it will smell it and come back to the rice.
அப்படியே இழுக்கும் அது அப்படியே.
Then it will pull.
அப்புறம் திடீர்னு பார்த்தா மூணு எறும்பு நிக்கும்.
Then there will be three ants.
அப்புறம் பேக்ல ஒண்ணு தள்ளுறது, ஒண்ணு முன்னால ஒண்ணு புல்லிங் அண்ட் புஷிங், சைட் சப்போர்ட் எல்லாம் சேர்ந்து அந்த ஆஃப் புரோக்கனுக்கு அவ்வளவு பிரயாசப்பட்டு எல்லாம் போகுது எல்லாம்.
And each one will be pushing from their side and moving forward, and each one will be helping to move it.
நான் இதை பாத்துக்கிட்டு இருக்கேன்னு வச்சுங்க. இப்ப நான் பாத்துக்கிட்டு இருக்கேன்.
If supposing I am seeing all these things.
இப்ப பாத்துக்கிட்டு இருக்கேன், நான் கஷ்டப்படுறேன் அப்படின்னு சொல்லுதுன்னு வச்சுங்க.
Suppose that ant is saying, oh, I am struggling here, you are just seeing that.
வேடிக்கை பாத்துக்கிட்டு இருக்கீங்க.
You are just seeing that.
கொஞ்சம் ஹெல்ப் பண்ண கூடாதா?
Why can't you help me?
தாங்க கொண்டு போயினங்களே அப்படினா.
Please take this rice to the other place.
அப்படி சொல்லுதுன்னு வச்சீங்க.
Supposing the ants tells like that.
அது எனக்கு ரொம்ப கஷ்டம் நான் நினைப்பறானு.
Will I think that it is so difficult for me?
அது எதா கஷ்டமா?
Is it so difficult?
ஃபுட் ஒரு கஷ்டமும் கிடையாது.
Has no difficulty for me.
அது அப்படியே ஏங்கி அப்படி கொஞ்சம் பார்த்து ஹெல்ப் பண்ணுங்களே.
If they look unto me and you know asking me for a help.
Okay, now onnu say kashtapada vendadilla enga poi vekkanum.
I don't need to struggle and I will ask you in which place I should keep that.
Anda puttukku poyinu naan anda edathukku poyinu naan.
And the answer will tell if I have to go there.
Right, neengalu vaanga unga arisiy eduthukura.
So you also come, I'll take your rice also in my hand.
Onna maatra eduthukuradilla onnai eduthukura un arisiy eduthukura naan.
Not only your rice, I will take you also.
இன்னும் கொஞ்சம் நான் என்னுடைய ஹார்ட் கொஞ்சம் வைடனா இருக்கு.
சப்போஸ் இஃப் மை ஹார்ட் இஸ் சோ வைட்.
ஏன் அரை அரிசி இந்த இவ்வளவு அரிசி சேர்த்து வைக்கிறேன்.
வை ஹாஃப் பீஸ் ஆஃப் ரைஸ் ஐ வில் டேக் மோர் ரைஸ் ஃபார் யூ.
இன்னொரு நாலு ரைஸ் சேர்த்து வைக்கிறேன்.
ஐ வில் ஆட் ஃபோர் மோர் ரைஸ்.
ஓகே நீங்களும் உட்காந்துங்க.
யூ ஆல்சோ சிட் வித் அலாங் இன் மை ஹேண்ட்.
எந்த இடம் சொல்லுங்க.
டெல் மீ த பிளேஸ்.
இந்த போய் சேருங்க எல்லாம் போய் சேருங்க.
ஓகே யூ பி ஹியர்.
இப்படிதானே.
இஸ் இன் த வே.
அந்த எறும்புக்கு வேணும்னா பிரியமானவர்களே இது பாரமா இருக்கலாம்.
For that ant, it could be a big burden.
பல்டி அடிக்கலாம்.
It may, you know, go from one side to the another side.
விட்டுட்டு தேடலாம்.
They may search here and there.
நம்முடைய பிரச்சனைகள் அத்தனையும் அத்தனையும் எல்லாம் இந்த புரோக்கன் ரைஸ் நாள்.
All our problems are like the broken rice.
ஆனால் நம்முடைய பார்வையில் நாம் எறும்பா நம்ம வைக்கிறது இல்ல.
But in our eyes, we are not like the ants.
Na erumbu pola irundhu naan devana paathuten appadina.
If I am like an ant and looked up to God,
and the erumbukku devan udhavi senjiruvar,
the Lord will help that ant.
Naan erumba irundhu naan devana paatha devanude vallamai velangum.
If I look to God like an ant, the power of God will be manifested.
Ana nammude paarvila or yaana maari irukra appadinaala.
But since we are in our eyes like an elephant,
alla neengala venda naan paathukuren.
You are telling God, you know, I don't need you, I'll take care of it.
இதெல்லாம் நான் பாத்துக்குவேன் அதெல்லாம்.
I can take care of it myself.
அப்படிங்கறப்ப தான் தேவன் நிக்கிறார் வெளியில நிக்கிறார்.
Then God is standing outside.
அருமையானவர்களே.
Beloved.
அவருடைய சர்வ வல்லமை மகத்துவமான தேவன்.
He is an almighty God.
அவர் என்கரேஜ் பண்ணுகிற தேவன்.
He is a God of encouragement.
நம்மளை எவ்வளவு மடங்கடிக்கப்பட்டிருந்தாலும் தூக்கி விடுகிற தேவன்.
He is a God who lives.
பிரகாசிக்க செய்கிற தேவன்.
Who makes us to shine brightly.
அவருடைய வல்லமை அவ்வளவு பெரிதா இருக்கிறது.
His power is so great.
நாம் அவர்ட ஒப்படைச்சிருவோம்.
We will surrender ourselves to him.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really thank God for keeping me and my family in the church which he is building. The protection that we have being part of the body of Christ, being protected by the power of God, a God who encourages us, who encourages me in all my situations through a faith which he has given us. The power that protects me protects us from the power of the devil, power of sin, through the truth which God reveals us in his church. I'm so thankful to God. I was reading a words from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, 6 and 7. That we who are protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You all know the what God allowed in our families, and we appreciate with thanks the prayer support, the encouraging words, the body of Christ in CFC Bangalore helped us. We are so encouraged, and I thank God for that. We thank God for your support, your encouraging words. You all, I heard that brothers and sisters prayed with such a burden for us when we were going through an ordeal. We had such a heavenly peace in our hearts when we were going through tough situations. And I know it's because the people of God, the saints of God are praying and supporting us, encouraging us. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate with a heart of thankfulness for all your support. I believe whatever God allows in my life, be it a blessing, be it a tough situation in my office or at home, anything or a distressing situations or various trials, I believe God allows it in my life with one purpose, so that the body of Christ will be built. That is the faith Lord gave me. God opened my eyes. All, even a blessing, whatever be it a blessing or be it a tough situation, God allows it in my life so that the body of Christ will be built. And it is only for the benefit of the church. You know, when we go through trials, our flesh, my flesh, always want to see the end of it. It looks only when this will end. But you know, I read a verse in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, God is saying to me, you know, I allow all these things so that the body of Christ will be built through these trials. And at one side, my flesh wants to see the end of it, that the ordeal should come to an end as quickly as possible. But when I read this word, now it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest. My personal interest that it should come to an end, this ordeal, this distressing situation should come to an end as quickly as possible. But the Lord says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but for the interest of others. Through this, I want to teach you some lesson. Through this, I want to become strong in faith so that the body of Christ will be built. The brothers and the sisters in the church will be increased. So don't seek your own interest, but seek the interest of others. And the Lord said, this is the attitude Jesus had in his mind when he was living on this earth. I was so encouraged by what the Lord told me even 4 or 5 years ago. I think 3 or 4 years ago, my elder daughter, Polo's wife, Subha, she also had a dengue fever, and the platelets were, you know, coming down. It reached a point, you know, it was just 16,000. And at that time only the Lord was speaking to me that I should not seek my own interests. And the Lord and the church was praying for us, encouraging us, and the Lord gave me a faith. And to confess to him, Lord, if I want your name be glorified, I don't want to miss any lesson through this ordeal. And Lord, if you want to glorify your name, Lord, if you have willed that your name be glorified through the death of my daughter, than the life that we are going to give her, I am willing for that, Lord. In all these things, Father, whether by life or death, I pray that your name be glorified. I thank God for the faith Lord gave me. And even in the same situation, the Lord took us through. And the Lord gave me such a faith that I should not seek my own interest. But I believe the Lord allowed this so that the body of Christ will be built. This is for His glory. And the Lord has been so merciful, and He gave Polo fantastic recovery. I once again thank the body of Christ here, and in all the churches in Chennai and so many other places who prayed for us and who encouraged us. I really thank God. I thank God for the church here. May the Lord's name be glorified. Thank you.
It's really been heaven in our midst this evening, in this morning. And I really praise the Lord that I believe many of us have been strengthened and encouraged. And we thank the Lord for what we heard from Charles and from Victor and our brother Jesudas. Let's give thanks to the Lord and let's give them also an applause. It's only right we appreciate such brothers who strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. We'll sing a song in closing. It's a wonderful song. He knows my name. I have a maker. You can get that up on the screen. Come, brothers. I want you to think of the words that we sing, and I pray that you will be mightily strengthened and encouraged. I have a maker, He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name, He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Let's all stand up and sing together and really thank and praise the Lord for strengthening and encouraging our hearts. We have an identity in Christ. And may we go from here encouraged, knowing I have an identity. Never forget that little story of the ant whenever we face trouble and difficulty.
Time began, my life. he hears me when I call.
We thank you, our dear Daddy in heaven. Thank you that we can call you Dad. And help us in the times of trial and difficulty, whatever we face. You don't enjoy looking at us. Going through those trials and difficulties, you come. And that's what you did through the ages. You always come to help us. You take note of everything that happens to us on this earth because we are the apple of your eye. We thank you, our dear Dad. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made this possible, Lord, by giving your life for us on that cross and shedding your blood. And we thank you that you will help us to remain in that security, not just here this morning, but all through life, all through this week, all through the months and the years to come. We thank you and we praise you that Jesus, in you we have peace. In the world we may have tribulation, but we can always be of good courage. You've overcome the world. And so we thank you for our brothers who have brought your word from heaven. And thank you for blessing our hearts. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats.